Hey, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
What's up?
What's up with you? I feel like you had a big first.
I did have a big first. So later on in this episode, you guys are going to hear I did my first interview.
Ever. And it's with Cynthia Bailey.
One of the greats.
Okay. When you were in her presence, were you not sort of in awe?
Absolutely. I kept getting distracted. And I think I had tried to prepare myself going into this. I kept getting distracted by how pretty she is. So I'd be like, I'd ask her a question. We'd be doing a little bit of talking. And I'd just be looking at her like, wow, those cheekbones.
Exactly. And then I'd be like, oh. Yes. That is exactly how I felt the first time I met her.
She was really, really sweet, really great. We didn't get a lot of time with her, but I tried to pack in as much as we could for that interview. So you guys will hear that a little bit later. But she was really sweet. I was very excited to have her take my cherry.
Aww. All right. Well, we have a good show, I think. We're going to be talking about part one of that Atlanta trip. And then we have Vanderpump Rules. The third episode, we get a little cameo from our Beverly Hills ladies. And then I think we need to talk about Danielle Staub's upcoming nuptials on Real Housewives of New Jersey.
I have a lot of thoughts.
I'm sure. Let's get into it. Okay, so this Atlanta trip had me literally gagging at my desk. I don't mean gagging like the...
Like the drag queen, like I'm gagged.
No. Like I had to pull out my trash can. I thought I might throw up. Because these ladies, when they play Truth or Dare, play it a little differently than what I'm used to.
Shamari, it's on you. What does it say?
Let the lady next to you suck your first two fingers.
Yeah.
Is it Eva or Marlo?
Girl, you don't get your damn fingers out my damn face.
All right, come on.
Get to suck it.
One, two, three, four.
Suck the first two fingers of the person next to you? What? Ugh.
So you were not turned on by that moment whatsoever.
I could not be less turned on. And then it went and it sort of started this whole conversation in the office of, okay, well, you have to pick one person in the office whose first two fingers you're going to suck. Who's it going to be?
And why don't you tell everyone who you picked?
My first instinct was Emily, who also works on this podcast, because she sits next to me and puts on hand sanitizer 10 times a day.
Very clean.
Yeah, so I know what I'm getting. My second thought was you. Oh. Because, well.
We know why.
But yeah, what the f***? How does that even come into your mind of possibilities for Truth or Dare?
I mean, I have to say I'm a little surprised that you were so, like, turned off by that, because I actually really liked that moment. I was really excited to see some interaction from the new ladies. Like, I feel like we've seen a lot of, like, Cynthia and Candy doing their flirtation. And Portia, you know, they've always been very kind of, like, sexual secretly, and just getting that moment, especially with Shamari and Eva, I just thought that was so, I don't know, I was kind of turned on by it.
Maybe it's the New Yorker subway rider in me, but all I could think about is, you don't know where those hands have been.
Right, that is a good point, because, I mean, germs are everywhere, but I mean, they just were, you know, they just were on the bus, and I think they were starting to loosen up a little bit, and I was down for the finger sucking.
Okay. What about Candy having to talk dirty to Todd on the phone?
Hey, what up?
Hey, babe. I got a little break, so I was thinking about you, just missing you.
Missing you too. I appreciate the call.
You know what I was thinking about?
What's that?
I was thinking about how you eat it from the back sometimes. You know I love that.
Oh, man.
I loved that. She was so good at it. And I'm so glad we got to see that moment, because I feel like that's been just kind of like part of Candy's story for so long now. And it just is kind of part of her brand. And I love Todd's reaction because he was so kind of like taken aback by it. Like, oh, I didn't expect that. And he right. was like starting to get into it. He's like, oh, babe, you know? And I'm just like, oh my God. I'm like, now we know what Todd sounds like when he's like this too. So I thought that was actually pretty funny. And I'm glad that somebody did that dare because I wanted to see that happen. Because who was it that tried it? It was Portia, right?
No, and it was Eva.
It was Eva, right? And she was like, hey, babe, can't wait to come home and like cuddle you. And it's just like, what, Eva? Like, no, that's not sexy.
Oh, and then Portia's saying like, even I'm dry.
It's true. I mean, Eva did not. I mean, she got involved in the finger sucking, so we'll give her at least that. But I really appreciated Candy's efforts there.
Candy's thing reminded me, I remember I was in college and I was listening to the radio and this DJ said he gave a challenge of call your spouse or your boyfriend or your significant other and start baby talking and see how long it takes for them to get into it. And just baby talking. And so people would call in with their person on the phone, not knowing that the radio was also listening. It was a really good challenge.
Now that makes me want to gag, like in really? The bad way. Yeah, baby talk is where I get to. So that is where I cross the line.
Ewick.
Oh, no.
My little Ewick Bewick.
No, too weird. I can't.
But, you know, I think what really was not great about this trip for me is poor Greg didn't get a go.
I know. It ended up really backfiring with the whole plan for it to be couples, and then everyone fell off. And then what did Greg just stay home?
Yeah, and he's sick. He needs first of all, he needs a vacation more than anyone. Second of all, now he has no one to take care of him.
It's very true. It's very true. I mean, I feel like hopefully they'll get to plan something different, but I did feel bad, like all of them just like packing up and leaving him behind.
Yeah.
I was like, all right.
But the biggest question of this episode is, where do you stand on the fact that Eva didn't invite Nini to her bachelorette trip?
I think it's shady. And I think that Nini said it the best in her confessional when she was like, oh, I didn't want like to go. I wanted an invitation. I would have said no. Like, she was totally fine. I mean, I think it's the principle of it when you know, Eva was like, she's my girl. She's my big sister. Like, I want her to be a part of my wedding. She is a part of the wedding. She's speaking at it. You know, so why you wouldn't just, even if she got to Miami and was like, hey, we just got here. It's a surprise bachelorette. Like, let me know if you want to come through. Like, at least put it out there and then let Nini make her decision, which was going to be no anyway. I think Eva kind of messed that up.
What I took from it is Eva chose a seasoned housewife to be in her wedding party, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which that kind of, there's implications with that maybe. Maybe you want to make sure your wedding is on the show, but didn't think enough of this person to invite her to the bachelorette. Like, does that not kind of scream, I'm looking for, I don't know,
that's
housewife ally?
Yeah, I didn't think of it like that, but I think that raises a good point because, you know, there's also sort of the publicity angle. Like, you're right, Nini's going to be posting pictures from the wedding and her dress and all of that sort of stuff. So it got, you know, the right amount of attention when Eva, I think, wanted it. Whereas maybe with this like bachelorette party weekend, she didn't want as many cameras out and didn't want as much attention around it because she probably did try to like, you know, slide under the radar a little bit and just kind of like, she could have also just owned up to it and been like, I didn't even think about it. I'm sorry. Like she didn't really own it in that moment. And she kept kind of being like, oh, well, it was a surprise. I didn't know. And then Portia was like, well, you invited me 3 weeks ago. Like, what are you talking about? You know, so she kind of messed that up a little bit. And I think she could have just owned it and apologized to Nini. But I did think it was a little shady.
Totally. But next week we get part two.
I'm excited for part two. I think there's going to be a little something going on with Marlo and Shamari, a little disagreement at the dinner table. So I'm excited to see that because I want to see Shamari get fired up.
Yes.
And I love, you know, I love Marlo. Like, Marlo is just so ridiculous and she just always knows how to read people, and I am just so excited to have our first like real big Marlo moment of the season, I think.
Yes.
Welcome to the On Her Turf podcast. I'm your host, Catherine Tappan. Tune in each week to hear the incredible stories of powerhouse women who have been game changers in sports and business. Listen to the On Her Turf podcast wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
So, of course, I loved this week's episode of Vanderpump Rules, but the best, most unexpected treat was that we got Teddy Mellencamp Roy Ave. I have been missing Beverly Hills so much. I am unabashedly, like, it is my favorite franchise. And we've had to wait longer than ever for this season. So to have Teddy pop in was really like a little hint at maybe what's to come. But it was also surprising because Teddy was so there for Lisa and, you know, talking to her about Lisa's brother passing and really being so sweet. But I think we've also gotten hints in real time that they're not so close anymore.
Teddy and Lisa?
Yeah.
That's true. I mean, this was a couple months back at this point now, when if you think about when they were filming. So it's interesting. It's interesting to see how things might have changed at that point.
Right.
But I also have to say, I think it's interesting getting a little bit more of the backstory of perhaps what's going on with Lisa right now. I think she's grieving at the end of the day, and she sort of starts to explain that to Teddy and is like, I don't want to talk about it. But then Teddy talks about her own brother and how he's looking for a job and maybe can he work at Sir? And then that sort of led the conversation right back to Lisa's brother. So I feel like at the end of the day, no matter what's going on with them, they do have this sort of connection, especially what we saw like in the scene. But I was happy to see Teddy back too, because I really do miss Beverly Hills. I miss Lisa Rinna. I miss all my ladies. So I'm excited we got a little bit of that taste.
I didn't want to put this moment as a rose because it's not a good moment, okay? I'm not proud that it made me laugh so hard. But at the opening of this episode when James says, I'm all for equality, but that whore can go f*** herself.
I'm all for equality, but that whore can go f*** herself.
Just, I rewound it to watch again because the delivery was so amazing.
You have a habit of doing that with James. You love going back to, like, listen to his insults again.
I don't know what it is. He just is, he's a terrible person sometimes, but he's also really funny sometimes.
He is. It's like, I agree, because I do feel like there is a charm about him, and it's there for 1 second, and then all he has to say is one thing or do one thing, and it just completely changes.
Not very flattering.
Not very flattering.
That's what I say to Eric all the time now.
The one thing I do want to say, too, about James is what I do find a little bit interesting is that he really is being, I feel like, dragged through the mud with this whole cheating scandal. But did everyone already kind of forget about what we've been through with Jax and Brittany? Like, they're really being held on a pedestal at this point.
Well, and I feel like the editors are being slightly cheeky, right? Like, they keep showing Jax an interview talking about how terrible James is, but then, and really what he's doing is he's dissing Raquel and saying, like, how can you be with someone so stupid? But then they keep going, then cutting in parts with Jax and Brittany in the kitchen together.
Right. That is true. I mean, I think there is a bit of a setup there, like, the times have changed, but, like, we can't forget the past. We can't forget what happened.
On a reality show that's not Bravo, but very dear to my heart, Made in Chelsea, there is a guy named Spencer who's very much the Jax Taylor of that show, and he had been cheating on his girlfriend for a long time, and she kind of kept ignoring it. And when they finally broke up, he said, of course I don't respect you. How could I respect someone who lets me cheat on them?
Ooh.
I always think about that and think, is that what really goes through cheating people's minds?
I think it's the way to justify it, being like, well, this is your fault that you keep taking me back. Right. It's like, that's not owning what you did.
Oh, so
and maybe that is the difference between Jax and James at this point. You know, everyone seems to be very much against James and being like, he's a cheater. They're trying to get this through to Raquel. And I think at this point, Jax has owned up to his mistakes and he's trying to become a better man and he's trying to make up for it. So perhaps that's why everyone's just been able to, like, move on from that, because they see a change in Jax and they don't see that change in James. Not yet, anyway. It's early in the season.
True.
So let's talk a little bit about Jersey, because we have a Bridezilla situation going on right now, and it's making me very uncomfortable.
So I've been waiting to talk about Danielle's wedding, because obviously we know in real time what's happened. So to go back and see the events that led to this separation is thrilling.
It really is thrilling, because knowing the outcome of it, it's sort of like we're watching this get set up just step by step, episode by episode, like moment by moment. And so it's crazy to kind of reflect on it now and really get the insight of what really happened. And I think one of the biggest red flags for me at this point is the issue with Marty's kids and Danielle. And I think everyone kind of feels the same way. Everyone's like, I could never let someone come between me and my kids. And I feel like that's just setting up for failure at that point.
I think it's also the way in which Danielle talks about it.
His kids don't like me.
They don't like you?
I guess that would be the issue.
The ones that are here, I'm sure.
No, they do not like me.
She's not embarrassed that the relationship with his kids isn't there. She's not hopeful for the future. She's just angry. And I think that there's a little bit of a loss of respect when she talks so openly about Marty's kids and not, you know, making an effort to welcome them into the family.
Absolutely. Margaret says it, I think, in one of her interviews. She's kind of like, you need to fix that first. Like, you're never going to be able to have this relationship continue and be healthy if you're going into it with all of these things that are a mess to begin with. And especially when it's the kids, Margaret's like, absolutely not. Could I ever do that? And then he even, you know, Joe takes Melissa and Teresa aside and is like, look, we need to work this out. This is family, like all this other bullshit and drama that's going on around us. That's something different. Like, let's make sure that our family and that we're good. So I think that was a big moment for Joe, because typically he's the one who's like exploding and there's screaming and it's just like it gets really bad. It goes from 0 to 100 so fast. And I think Joe is starting to come around, and especially after Teresa, what she said about being away from her mother. Like, I didn't even think of that, her being in jail. I was like, oh, she's away from her kids. That's terrible. You know, like, she's in jail. That's awful. But I didn't even kind of put it together that she lost a whole year with her mom before she passed. And that, I think, when I heard that realization from her, and I think when Joe heard that, it changed the whole dynamic of their fight. They were like, we need to reprioritize what's going on in our family.
How much did you laugh at the bridesmaids and bride photo shoot on the beach?
Oh God. It's like, at a certain point, I feel like these traditions of like weddings, they have to fall away when it's like your second or third wedding. Like,
right.
There's no need.
And I mean, Margaret was being so funny and self-deprecating where she's like, 20-year-olds do these photos. Like, we are not in our 20s. Just,
what's Danielle going to do with those pictures, especially now? You know what I mean? So it's like, I felt bad for Margaret because she was self-conscious. She didn't want to take off the pants. And they're like, take off the pants. And it's like, you shouldn't be forcing anyone to do any of this. And I think Margaret said it the best a week ago when she was like, Danielle, this is your third wedding. In lieu of gifts, you should be donating to charity. Like, your wedding should be a little bit differently structured, I think, if it's going to be that time in your life and that go around of your wedding. You know
right.
what I mean?
No, I agree.
Oh, and the other thing, at the end of this episode, we get the super tease for the rest of the season. Who does Margaret push in the pool?
I don't know. Was it Marty?
I couldn't tell.
I can't wait.
I've always wanted to do that. Someone fully clothed, just,
Remind me not to go to a pool with you.
It's been 10 years since Bernie Madoff shocked the world with his $65 billion scam. I'm Scott Cohn.
I'm Chuck Schaefer. The story's not over yet.
In a special CNBC podcast series, we're going behind bars, including my conversation with Madoff himself.
We catch up with investigators and Madoff victims.
And we ask, can it happen again?
Subscribe today to the American Greed podcast.
So like I mentioned earlier, I got to do my very first interview with Cynthia Bailey, and we didn't have a lot of time, so I tried to pack in as much as I could. So we talked a little bit about Mike, a little bit about Noelle, we talked a little bit about Portia and Dennis, so here's that interview. So we are here with Cynthia Bailey. Hi, Cynthia.
Hola.
How are you?
I am fabulous.
Awesome. Well, we're happy to see you. Glad that Atlanta's back.
Yes, Atlanta is back, baby.
So far this season, we've only at this point seen Mike on
FaceTime, which has been a saving grace because Mike lives in LA.
Right.
And I live in Atlanta, so I am in a long distance relationship. So he's not always around, but he's coming. He does come to Atlanta to visit a lot. And, you know, stay tuned. Okay. Mike Hill is on the way.
Amazing. We're so excited to meet him because you just got the keys to his apartment?
I got the keys to Beverly Chills.
Oh.
I gave him the keys to the lake a few months ago, and he just closed on a home, and he just officially gave me the keys when I was out there a couple of weeks ago. So we're like, you know, I got the keys to the castle. He has the keys to my heart, so it's all good.
Does Mike get along with the other guys on the show?
You know what? He spent some time in Atlanta with some of the other guys, with all of the other. You know what? Mike actually met all of the guys on the show, and he's had a chance to hang out with them, and he likes all the guys. He likes all the girls, too. Like, he actually gets along with everyone.
He seems like a really good guy. Like, he would get along with anybody.
You know what he is? He's like me. It's like, I'm telling you, if I was a man, I would be Mike Hill. Like, honestly, he's like the male version of me. He's really like, you know, a good guy. He's like classy. He's fun. You know, he's got a little wild side like me.
Oh?
Yeah, he's good. So far, so good. I can't wait for you guys to really get to see more of him on the show.
We're very excited about that. So tell us a little bit. We saw some pictures just recently of Baby Daily.
Baby Daily. Yes, Baby Daily has arrived, honey. She has twirled on into the building. Noel and I went to visit Kenya and Brooklyn, I don't know, maybe about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And, you know, she's a little preemie. She came like 5.5 weeks early, I think. Oh my gosh, she's so beautiful. She was so tiny and cute. When we saw her, she wasn't really opening her eyes that much, but Kenya is a great mom, which I knew she would be. You know, she thinks she knows everything and wants to boss everybody around. So now she has her own baby. Stop trying to boss me around. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, it's going to be interesting because I think Kenya thinks she's going to run a really tight ship as a mom, but Brooklyn is not going to be having any of it. Brooklyn's going to be just as spoiled as Noelle is in the end, and she's going to give Brooklyn whatever she wants.
How is Mark with the baby?
Oh, my God. Mark is, like, so overprotective. If anything, the problem is, you know, with those two together, like, Mark's like, you know, Kenya's like, oh, I got to chase the baby. She just peed. And Mark's like, no, you don't have to, like, grab her every time she does something. I mean, like, that's what the Pampers are for. Like, you know, let her sleep. You don't have to wake her up to change her. Like, they go back and forth with the parenting thing because Kenya thinks she knows everything about parenting, and Mark thinks he knows everything about parenting. So it's funny to watch them work out, like, who knows how to take care of Brooklyn best.
Right.
Probably I can probably do a better job than both of them, but they won't give me their baby for some reason. Noel and I want Brooklyn. We want to, like, have Brooklyn. We love her.
Now, are they still splitting their time between New York and Atlanta?
They are. They are. When Noel and I went to visit Brooklyn, we saw Brooklyn in Atlanta. But I know they're in New York right now because I just had dinner with Kenya last night, as a matter of fact.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So speaking of Noel, we saw it was pretty emotional with you guys when she was going away to college. God. So how is she doing now?
She's doing a lot better. Like, Noel literally had, like, a nervous breakdown before she left college, which I wasn't prepared for that. Like, I knew it was going to be hard for her, but I didn't realize how hard it was going to be for me. Like, there was one point where she was like, please don't make me go. And then when we got her there, she was like, please don't leave me here. She's like, I want to go back home. I'm like, you are at home. This is your new home. Your home. This dorm room is your new home. And she's like, but I want to go back to my real home. And I was like, Noelle, I, like, as a mom, like, as much as I love Noelle, I knew that the best thing I could ever do for her was to leave her at college and just walk away. Like, I just had to. And it was hard. It was a lot harder than I thought it would be. And now I can't even get her on the phone. Now she voicemails me all the time. Now she sends me in a voicemail all the time.
Did you know that was going to happen?
I didn't. Like, you know, first she was calling me like 10 times a day, like, Mom, can I come home now? All right, it's been like 2 weeks. I know I'm not going to like it. It's not going to work. I don't feel comfortable. Who's going to do my laundry? I don't know how to do this. I'm not eating good here. I don't like the food here. And then now it's like, I'm like, Noelle, can you call me back? Can you return a text? Like, what is going on? But we did make a decision for next semester for Noelle to move off campus, though. Like, she did the whole, like, you know, of course, her dad, Leon, and I were like, oh, we really want Noelle to have this really normal college experience and just, you know, just get in there and just, you know, just be in college. But it ended up, you know, she ended up having some issues. So, you know, I knew that Noel was always kind of like a loner, a little bit to some degree. She homeschooled. She just isn't like a big school person. So her space means a lot to her. So I thought, okay, she has her own dorm room with no one else in it. That's space. But apparently Noah wants more space off campus. So as long as it's going to give me peace and her stay at school, I will move Noelle into a mansion in D.C. as long as she stays there and does not come back to Lake Bailey, because it's my time now. The beauty about being a parent is you look forward to the day where they when they leave. So I don't want her to come back. Like, you know, my nest was empty and then Mike flew into the nest and I, you know, I'm taking care of my other baby now.
So we are getting the wrap-up signal, but I want to get one more bit of tea from you.
Okay.
Dennis and Portia.
You know what? Dennis and Portia, you know what? I am so happy for Portia. I'm so excited that she's having a baby. I know she's going to be a great mom. And I love that Dennis makes her so happy. I'm rooting for them.
Well, we are too, honestly. Yeah. Well, thank you for coming by. We really appreciate it. And we'll see you soon.
Yay. Thank you, guys.
A lot's happening in the world, and I'm not just talking about on Bravo. If you want to keep up with the latest headlines in news, media, and tech, you need to listen to Recode Decode. Kara Swisher hosts Recode Decode. It's a podcast that's home to candid interviews with tech and media's key players about their big ideas and how they're changing the world. Previous episodes include newsmaking conversations with business leaders like Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg, influential politicians like Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, and outspoken media personalities like Anthony Scaramucci, Christian Amanpour, and the boys from Crooked Media's Pod Save America. Recode Decode with Kara Swisher offers in-depth conversations that are as entertaining as they are enlightening, and Kara's planning more big shows right now. New episodes are published every week on Mondays and Wednesdays, with frequent bonus episodes on Saturdays. Listen and subscribe to Recode Decode with Kara Swisher for free on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. So with the holidays coming up, we wanted to say thank you to our Daily Dish listeners. We love you guys and wanted to give you a little special gift. We had the ladies of The Real Housewives of Atlanta record a little message for each and every one of you.
Hey, y'all, it's Shamari, and I am wishing you a happy holiday.
Hey, y'all, it's your girl, Candy. I just want to tell you happy holidays. I hope you get lots of gifts.
Hi, you guys. It's your girl, Cynthia, and I just wanted to wish you guys a happy, happy, happy holiday and an amazing new year. I hope you guys have an incredible, incredible time, and be great.
And we also got a message from Eva.
Hey, Daily Dish Podcast. Happy holidays and happy new year.
And another one from Portia.
Hey, guys. I hope you enjoy this holiday season with friends and family and have lots of love and lots of food.
And for those of you who have been missing The Real Housewives of Potomac, here's a special treat.
Hi, it's Karen Huger from The Real Housewives of Potomac. And to all the Daily Dish listeners, I want you to have a very special, happy, Merry Christmas. Mwah!
So you know how Santa has a naughty and nice list. I thought it would be fun for you to reveal one naughty thing about me. Mm-hmm. And me to reveal one nice thing about you.
Interesting choice. Okay. All right. I'm ready. One naughty thing about you, and this, if the listeners follow you on Instagram, they will know very well, is that you like to post some provocative pictures on your Instagram stories of your husband, Aaron.
Okay. With consent. Okay. It's not like I catch him sleeping.
Except for that one time.
Yeah, except, okay, except for that one time. Something nice about Eric is everyone, and I mean everyone who works at Bravo and our sister network Oxygen, loves Eric. He is so nice and friendly to every single person. And I don't really even think you talk bad about anyone. It's really annoying.
We can change that. We also ask some of our Bravo Lebs the same thing. So here's Jax and Brittany.
I don't know. She's just, she's amazing. Like I mean, she's such a sweet girl. Even with me, I mean, she gets a little. I don't know. She's moody. I don't know what else. She's extremely, extremely moody. Brattany, I call her instead of Brittany. Right. She's Brattany. Even her mom and dad call her Brattany. It's not just me. She's not a morning person. I usually have to give it to around 11 o'clock before I even speak to her. She's not a very friendly person.
That's a good answer. answer and not.
She's nice to everybody else that comes over in the morning, all her glam squad and all everybody else and her friends, but not me. She's evil to me.
Right.
Go get me coffee. Go do this. Go walk the dogs.
Okay. Well, I know everybody always talks about Jax's big heart that everybody doesn't, you know, people are like, but he has a big heart, but he really does. The other day he had like Jingle Ball tickets and he wanted to give them away to somebody, but he wasn't able to give away the actual ticket. So this little girl who's 15, she volunteers at Vanderpump Dogs all the time and she won an award at the Vanderpump Pets Gala. So he brought her like $300 so that she could buy a Jingle Bell ticket. And I just thought that was so sweet. And then like we'll be driving and he'll stop down the side of the road and just pull over all of a sudden and help a homeless man or do things like that. And I love that about him.
That's so sweet.
I know.
What a good answer.
And here's Stassi and Bo.
You're not perfect, so don't even be flattered by the fact that I'm struggling.
I'm struggling too.
I'm sweating. You're really struggling to come up with something nice about me?
When you talk to me like that. Yes.
Jeez, naughty thing. Honestly, he's just a slob.
Right.
That's like really. I'm constantly just picking shit up. That's the only thing I can think of.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Now say a bunch of nice things about me.
that people don't know. Yeah. I feel like I don't know, that's gonna be lame. Like when I cook, even if it's crappy, you eat it and you pretend to like
that's
it.
That's the nicest thing you can think of about me?
Just right now.
That is the worst thing I've ever heard.
Sorry, this was just...
That's what I said.
Jack literally got that he's like so generous and he's like sweet when no one's watching. And you said that I eat whatever you make me?
I don't know.
Oh my God. Damn. I am sorry, but I think you guys are great together.
Yeah. I don't know. She makes me... smile. She makes me laugh. She's kind to me. She's kind to people around her. I know when I first started dating her, my friends were like, "Oh, you're dating that awful chick from that one show," and I've never seen that. So she's a sweetheart. She's kind and loving, and just she makes my heart warm.
Aww.
There you go.
And I eat his food.
Yes.
Well, that was a little awkward.
I mean, imagine being in the room with them as this was happening.
Whatever. I still love Beau.
Totally. We wish all of you a very happy holidays.
Everyone stay safe.
All right, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Eric, what was your rose this week?
So my rose this week came from Dirty John. I was so blown away by Jean Smart's acting. The whole episode, it really was her episode, and she carried the whole thing. I mean, I do have to say Connie did amazing, as always. But it was really interesting to finally get more of that backstory and kind of understand the role of forgiveness in their family and how it kind of plays into what we're going to see coming up next, I think, on the next couple episodes with, you know, Deborah and John. But the scene with Connie, when Connie comes over to her house and then, you know, finding out about her daughter's murder and then, you know, talking to her daughter's killer when he's in prison, the whole thing I thought was just so superb. And she just did such an amazing job. And it really, I was hoping we got to have some moment of like amazing Jean Smart acting in this series, and we got it.
Yes. All right, my rose this week was from Below Deck, and it was that moment in the bathroom when Ross and Tyler are talking about Riley, and Ross says to Tyler, "Honestly, you can go for Riley. You'd be taking her off my hands." And Riley saying, "You guys are so stupid. I can hear everything you're saying."
No?
Go for it, brother. You'll be doing me a favor.
You guys are dumbasses. You're literally a dumbass.
God, there's some thin walls in this TV play.
I think I'm in trouble.
How embarrassing.
They were in like a tiki hut. They should have known better. Those walls are so thin.
I don't know. In their defense, I've talked so much shit about people in bathrooms. Oh, now I'm going to second guess it every
time. You're never safe. You're never safe. I will say the men's room and women's room on this floor is connected, so watch what you say. Too close to that wall.
Oh my God, is it?
I've never heard anything like really through it, but I could hear some activity on the other side once in a while.
I love it when I walk into the restroom with a coworker and you see them like checking under the doors for feet, and then you're like, oh, I know a good piece of gossip is coming my way.
Just scanning the room.
Yeah. What was your thorn?
So my thorn is going back to Atlanta. It was when they were on the bus, and it comes down to the editing, which we love, but it was when they're talking about Portia and Dennis, and Portia's like, we've been exclusive for 5 months. It's been 5 months we've been together. Like, he wasn't sleeping with anybody else. And then she gets called out for bringing someone else to, I think, Shamia's birthday party in May. And then she's like, oh, well, you know, we weren't exclusive back then. And the editing cuts back to her, and it's like 2 minutes earlier. And she's like, we were exclusive for 5 months. I don't know what you're talking about. So I was like, Portia, we done caught you in a lie.
Yeah, it's both a rose and a thorn, I would say.
It is. It's a double duty there. What about you? What's your thorn?
Okay, my thorn comes from Below Deck. My least favorite thing in this world is small talk. Just meaningless small talk. I can't stand it. And I felt like we reached peak bad small talk when Laura asked Ashton, what's your favorite nut?
What's your favorite nut?
Cashews.
Really?
And pistachios.
Those are my least favorite.
What are your favorite?
Pecans and macadamias.
Really?
Dear God, is that all we have to talk about?
I sat there for a moment and I was like, what's my favorite nut? I was like,
God, no, Eric, no, I don't want to know. I don't care.
I had to think about it for a moment, but I agree. I mean, their whole little like flirtation to me is kind of just like,
right.
You know?
They need better material.
They do.
We want to know what everyone else's rose and thorns for the week were. So tweet us at Bravo TV using the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish. You can always find me on Twitter and Instagram at Meg Segura.
And I'm at Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K. And if you're on Facebook, you can join our Bravo Daily Dish Facebook group. There's a lot of chatter there.
Bye.
See ya.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, Miss.